Just as I'm getting sorted, just want to confirm what Malk said and others. It was a really, really good conference here in Reading. I know we had the G12 one just a few weeks ago, and that may have affected our numbers to some extent. But I must admit, I was surprised in a really good way at how good it was with different guys from Reading and further afield coming and just working together and blessing. And do you know, sort of embarrassed to say, but I found one of the challenges was the worship, in the sense that we've had to compress everything here, you know, to be out by one and things like that, and to take into account the children. It was normally about an hour long, and it was just like an opportunity, and for me to get into a habit of going beyond the 20-minute, 25-minute stand up, sit down sort of thing, but to keep pressing in. And I mean, I didn't know most of the songs most of the time. It was all a little bit new, but just it was a good challenge. It was good because the heart of so much of the worship was, we just need to go deeper. We just need you to come, and that real sense of calling out on God. So we're considering to make this a bit more of an annual event. And if we did last spring, we need to be there in bulk, and as do the other churches, really make it a Reading occasion for the Lord just to come and visit his church in Reading in that sort of way. So it was a really good time. Okay, I'm going to, I couldn't think of a really good heading actually, so you've got this one here, just a new way to live. I want to just read a scripture. Oh, I'm on here now, aren't I? From Romans chapter 12. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." It's not the text I want to talk on, but it's a text which I was just using to set a little bit of a theme, if you like, because what I do want to talk on is what should be quite normal and natural for Christians, but can be not normal and natural for Christians. And Paul here is saying, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Don't live like the world lives. We're not of the world. We've been called out of the world system, the world's values. We have a different set of values, a different way to live. And Paul's saying, so don't just copy their behavior and don't be conformed to culture, because there's a kingdom culture. There's a different way to live. Rather, let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. And changing the way we think is so, so important. And so I just want to read from Philippians chapter 3. And you might think, well, you don't need to change much way of thinking, but to live these simple commands, expressions of Paul, actually, we do need to change the way we think. So Paul says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." He's speaking to the church. I'm speaking to the church. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Quite well-known scripture, part of Paul's letter to the Philippians. We probably have read it many, many times. I just want to look at this scripture and just take a few of those little instructions out and to develop it. Because I felt, as I was just reading this, I want to just bring this to LifeSpring. Sorry, Philippians 4. Do you know what? I guessed that. No, I guessed it wrong. I mean, I thought I need to check it sometime, and I didn't. Philippians 4, if you're looking for it. So a few thoughts to encourage. Here we are. Number one, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Another translation puts it this way, "Always, always be full of joy in the Lord." The Message says, No, it's maybe not the message on this one. Celebrate God. I think it is, actually. All day. Every day. I mean, revel in him. Wow. Do you get the message, church? We're supposed to be a happy bunch of people. God's always good, always faithful, always loving. So, church, be happy. To some extent, happiness and joy, it's a choice. We need to choose to be positive, to choose to think the best. Now, I know from a biblical perspective, joy is not supposed to be just a shallow emotion. Not just, well, that was a really nice cup of coffee, I'm very happy, or that was a really nice camera I received last week, I'm very happy, or I enjoyed doing that job, or that football team won, or we've got a gold medal or something, and we're happy. Joy from a biblical perspective is much more deeper than that. Joy comes from within. Comes from within when we know who he is, when we know who we are, and when we know what he's done for us. But I also know there are things which can steal our joy. So if we want to be happy, we need to deal with those things. Things like unforgiveness and resentment. Satan's favorite weapons steal joy. Unhealed emotions, pain, feelings of betrayal or rejection, all of that sort of stuff, Satan loves them. He just loves to put that on us. He just hopes that we accept that that is part of our life and that there's nothing we can do about it. But unless we deal with these sort of areas, which are deep things in our lives, joy will last for a moment and it will be quickly replaced by sadness. But as Pastor Burt says, don't be sad. Change. You see, it's a choice which we need to make. Some of us were reminded just a few days ago at the conference, we can spend all our lives getting rid of the old stuff. Some of the stuff I've just mentioned. We're not meant to be spending all our lives getting rid of that. We're meant to be just dealing with it. And once we've dealt with it, you know, some of us, we just, at the end of the day, end up at zero balance. We've dealt with all the stuff that caught us in the red, and now we're at zero. But actually, there are credits that the Lord wants to add to our bank balance. And joy is one of those things. We are supposed to be a happy, joyful people. It's part of our inheritance. One of the things that marks the presence of God is the sign, or a sign of his presence, is joy. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. There's no tears or sadness in heaven. They've been done away with. They are for the earth. When we're in heaven, it's joy. It's happiness. And Jesus says, pray that heaven touches earth. Pray your kingdom come, your will be done as it is up there in heaven for us in this little bit of earth here too. So we should be bringing in the joy of heaven into our lives so that we can bring it into other lives too. So joy should be evident among us. The church is supposed to be the happiest people on earth. Now, you don't look like you're agreeing with me, but we're supposed to be the happiest people on earth. Not just, you know, we've been at this conference and there was a little bit of laughter here and there and it's a little bit contagious and stuff like that. And I love seeing it. I'm not one of those laughy sort of people usually. I better be careful what I say. Last words, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. But I love to see it and it's contagious and it's great. But laughter is not just for meetings or in front of a comedy program. Joy and laughter is supposed to be in our lives, in our families, the workplace. People should want to be around us because we're happy people to be around. It's what our neighbors should be seeing, what our colleagues. So, joy. Rejoice always. Jesus, you know, was anointed with the oil of joy above all of his friends. He was the happiest bunch of his 12. I always think of Jim Herring when I think of that. Yeah, Jim's a good guy to be around. Jesus was the happiest of his 12. And so should we be too. The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. So, be joyful. One last thought on joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what Nehemiah tells us. You see, laughter is good for us. You know, laughter breaking out in meetings. I remember Jo, she was sitting over there, maybe she's gone. I remember Jo coming to a meeting 10 years plus ago in Oxford. And it was at the time of laughter in meetings. And I remember Jo thinking, sorry Jo, I hope you don't mind me saying all this. I don't know if I was talking to me or talking to somebody in the van that we're traveling in. Yeah, but you know, surely it's put on, you know. I mean, it's just people, they're just laughing. And you know, how do you know that it's God sort of thing? Well, Jo sat a bit too close to the front. And I was a few rows back. And in that meeting there, Jo, you just could not stop laughing. Laughter just hit Jo. And for the whole of that meeting, she was just, well, all around her were just laughing away because it is a little bit contagious, isn't it? And I was thinking to myself at that time and a little bit since, I don't know what all this is about. I love to see it. Don't know what it's all about. But I know laughter brings healing. Laughter takes off stress. Laughter replaces heaviness with lightness. And even though nothing circumstantially may have changed, because there's joy in our hearts, there's a strength to deal with the stuff which we didn't have before. Before we seemed under the circumstances, but now we're over the circumstances. Joy has risen in our hearts. We're not focusing on the problem. We're receiving and focusing on the one who has the power to deal with the problem. So church, rejoice. Be happy. Celebrate God all day. Revel in him, Paul says. Not me, Paul says. Revel in him. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Amen. So let's be happy. It's a new way to live, isn't it? Being happy in our miserable world. But we've got something to bring into it, which others don't have, that same source, the joy of the Lord. I'm not going to say much about that, so I'll put some brackets around it. But let's be considerate and gentle. But here we go. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You see, you've got a couple of translations. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. The antidote to worry, Paul says, is prayer. We live in a pressure society. Millions of work days are lost every year to stress. Worry and stress cause health problems, headaches, sleeplessness, IBS, heart conditions, and a whole host of other stuff. Worry's not good. When we're in heaven, we won't be worried. And we should be bringing heaven to earth. Worry is a sin. Ouch. Okay. Maybe from time to time we all sin, we all worry, but we should really understand God cares for us and can handle for us everything that's coming our way. Peter says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Bishop Joel says yesterday or the day before, he says, I don't stay awake at night worrying because the scripture tells me he, God, neither slumbers nor sleeps. So there's no point both of us staying up at night. I'll go to bed, hit my pillow, and I'll leave the worries with the Lord. Now, that is an attitude of faith. That is a new way to live. That is, I'm not allowing this stuff which in the natural I should be so concerned about to affect me. I'm going to give it to the Lord, and I'm going to go to sleep. Somebody said to me the other day, how many sleepless nights have you had since you bought this building? I thought, oh, well, I haven't had any, actually. What should I be worrying about? You know, I hadn't even thought that far. And I'm thinking, I'm either stupid or there's faith there at the moment. And I've got a feeling it's something to do with faith, actually. We've got enormous task ahead of us. Hundreds of thousands of pounds to raise. So much work to do, but I'm going to try and take Joel's tip. If he's staying up, I'm going to go to sleep. And I'll trust that the Lord will make provision for his vision. Jesus says this. Don't worry about those things. Say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But you see, this is a new way to live. They dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, put God first in your life. Make him your priority. Above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about where those 300,000, 400,000 is going to come in for the pavilion. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So Jesus says, don't worry. It'll all fall into place if we make him first and the priority in our lives. We don't need to destroy ourselves with worry. Worry kills faith, steals joy, takes the focus off God. Let's come to him, cast our burdens on him, give him our concerns, and leave them at his feet. Amen? So we can be happy, can't we? Because we don't need to worry. He's dealt with that. That was number two. Number three. Do not be anxious. Oh, no. Missed this bit out. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't worry, pray, but always be thankful. Last spring, we need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to cultivate thankfulness in our hearts. Some of us just naturally see the worst all the time. Don't be sad. That needs to change. Let's look for the best. That's what Paul says somewhere in Corinthians. Think about the best things. Think about the better things. Some of us always see the half full cup. Others see the half empty cup. We should be looking for the positive. At least it's half full, rather than seeing that half empty cup all the time. It's an attitude of life. The psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, church, we have got so much to be thankful for. There are millions and millions of people, even in this country, worse off than us, let alone the world. Be thankful. You know, sometimes when it is difficult in life, and it can be difficult in life, it's so easy to forget all the little things which we just take for granted. For food, for shelter, for clothes. We need to be grateful for. At least we've got them. There's millions that don't. Be thankful for your family, for your friends, for the job that you have. Or if you don't have a job, at least over here there's a system that helps support us. Be thankful for church, for salvation, for vision and for purpose in life. There are some people that don't know what they're living for. At least God's given us purpose and plans, and we know there's a call on our lives. We need to be thankful that we live in this part of the world, actually. I know we might not like the austerity measures and the sort of coalition decisions and stuff like that, and there's stuff that we don't like, but I'm thankful there's law and order. I'm thankful for the freedom we can meet. I'm thankful that I can still pretty much say what we want to say. It's being restricted a little bit, but you know, there is freedom of speech still to a large extent. Whereas if we said some of the stuff that was said here in some other places, we'd be locked up. I'm thankful to the Lord. I think it's a window, actually. I'm not sure how long it's going to be. We need to make the most of it. Appreciate creation. Marvel at it. I saw a little thing on Facebook from Claire up in the Lake District. Something like, wow, I've never seen such a beautiful area of God's beauty in the world, like I'm just looking out my window now. I mean, that's like just giving glory to God, isn't it? It's just, wow, thank you, Lord, this came from you. You made it. It's good. It's come from you for your blessing. And Kate reminded me this morning as we were praying, be thankful, not just saved, but we're sons, we're daughters, we're part of God's family. And he's our dad. He loves us. Haven't we got a lot to be thankful for? Tell me, say amen. God is so good all the time. Now here's a bit of a stiffer challenge, and that was this verse that sneaked up before I was ready for it. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Other translation, giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. Do you want to honor God? Bring your offering of thanks. But when it's hard, when circumstances are tough, it's more of a sacrifice, and that honors God even more. Last week, Jonathan Wilmot, speaking at Greyfriars, the vicar from there, is talking on the text, 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always. I could have used this text today. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That was Greyfriars' Rhema word, I would say, their text for the year. But just a few weeks ago, Jonathan's wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And next week she's going in for major surgery. And I know from talking to Jonathan, the tears have been shared, those natural, fearful thoughts have come into his mind. You know, he was saying, you know, it has struck me, will I be carving turkey at Christmas with just my three boys here? But he's put them at the back of his mind. And to me, Jonathan, the vicar, has been such an inspiration, such an example of someone continuing to be thankful in life. And I said, Jonathan, that's an amazing verse that you're talking on, particularly at this time. And he said to me, my boy, sometimes calls me my boy, he's not very respectful. He says, how can we say we believe he is the king and then not trust him when challenges come our way? I thought, he is so right. And I said in honesty, Jonathan, I just really, really hope I would be able to have the same sort of stance that you have if such a situation was in my life. And we don't know how we'd respond. I mean, I'm just amazed how he has responded. But he told me, he said, you know what, he said, I'm asking Susie, I was talking to him before he spoke on this verse, he said, and I'm going to ask Susie to come up as well and to share testimony of God's goodness in her life at this time, diagnosed with cancer, an operation on the way, and yet Susie was up there testifying to the goodness of God. You see, that's where it hits, isn't it? That's rubber hitting the road. That's what this is about. This isn't just it sounds, it feels good here, but when situations hit us like that, how do we respond? Their trust is in God. And if the breast has to be removed or she experiences a wonderful miracle, their God and ours is still worthy of all of our praise and thanks. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's be thankful, not for all circumstances. Let's be thankful in all circumstances, because everything good comes from him. Hallelujah. And so Paul says, with this attitude of thankfulness, pray. And pray believing. Pray expecting. You know, when we prayed for people with allergies, you know, I hope you didn't just think, well, I hope something may or may not happen today. You know, God wants to heal people of their allergies. So when you lay hands or when you receive that prayer, expect something to change because he's God. Visualize prayers being answered. We need to pray. Families restored, husbands saved, jobs acquired, conditions healed. But don't come with a heavy heart. Come with thankfulness and trust in the God that holds us and has the answers in his hand. Amen. And finally, and I won't do what Joel says, the first of his finalists. And finally, and the peace of God, this is beautiful, And the peace of having done all of that, you see, it doesn't just start here. There's a process. Having come through that process, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Another translation. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Another translation. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful promise? In the midst of not yet answered prayer, in the midst of challenges we face, as we bring our requests to Him with thankfulness, we can receive a peace from heaven. It's the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. A peace which you can't understand in the natural because Susie's still got cancer. The circumstances haven't changed. But it's okay. Papa knows. He's got it in his hands. And his peace will guard our hearts and minds. So don't start thinking the worst. Get rid of those thoughts. I don't know what situations people might be going through here, but don't be expecting, believing the worst thing to come. Bring them to God. Bring your families to God. Bring your prayers to God and expect Him to answer. And let His peace come and flood your hearts and guard your minds with a trust in Him who's over all and above all. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Beautiful gift, isn't it? It's for His children. As I say, it's not automatic. It's a consequence of some of those things which I've mentioned, starting with be happy, rejoice, He's good. It's making a choice, a decision, to be thankful in all circumstances. It's deciding we're not going to make ourselves bad or ill or have sleepless nights because of things that we can't, are out of our control often. They're out of our control. Can't do a thing about that anyhow. Jesus says, you know, by worrying, can you grow any higher? Can you, you know, these things are out of our control. They're in His hands. So rather than doing that with prayer and petition, we come to Him. We present our requests, our needs to God, and we leave Him with them. And we receive His incredible gift of peace, which guards our hearts and guards our minds. Aren't you concerned about the future? Well, no. But what about this, that, and the other which is happening? What about the measures the government are taking? What about gay marriage? What about the church things? Just bring them to the Lord. Just leave them with the Lord. What about your job? What about the expectations? What about you haven't got a job, still haven't got a job? You know, I was talking to a pastor, ex-pastor, 2 or 3 years, been out of work, tried for pastoral jobs, tried for any job he could find, still can't get a job. But we bring it to the Lord with thanksgiving. And we leave these things with Him. And we receive His peace. That assurance that Papa knows. We're His children. God loves us. God's got it in His hands. Amazing gospel. What a privileged people we are. Paul prays that we'll know the riches of our glorious inheritance. And joy and peace are part of that inheritance for the church. We should be the happiest. We should be the most peaceful. We should be the least worried because we're His sons and daughters. We're His family. So don't conform. Don't follow the behavior and customs of the world and be moany, miserable, critical, and worried. But let God transform you on the inside So we become a new person by changing the way we think, knowing our God hears, our God loves, and our God has a plan for our lives. Amen. Amen, John. Just going to have some music in a moment. But I just want to give opportunity too for prayer. What I've talked about, for some, it may not be your experience right now. It may be that there are things there, out there, which are really worrying you, struggling with joy, struggling with resentment, unforgiveness, all of that sort of stuff. You know, if anything that I've just said today, you feel, well, I need to come for prayer because I want that new way of life. I want that new perspective. I want to be in that place. Then maybe at the end of this song we sing, why don't you come forward, and we just love to pray with you. Love to lift stuff off. You might want to confess that the stuff that's down there, which you've just not been able to get rid of, well, maybe some of us this morning can just help lift that off you and help you come to a place of freedom and a place where his joy can fill your heart, and ultimately his peace also fills our hearts, that peace which guards our minds and our hearts. So we'll sing this song. I said, John, I don't know what we've got, but I said, let's have a little bit more of an upbeat song. I know it's a bit vibratory and this, that, and the other, but yeah, we're a joyful people. Yes? Amen.
Hey, let's stand.